Matt, this is going to be a big episode. We got the Players' Champs has just finished. We got the World Championship, the draw's been done. We got Lakeside coming up. But more importantly, Andy's played his first Super League in 2 years. I bet you're dying to hear what happened, aren't you?
I already know, you told me.
Well,
as well as one of our viewers, I saw in the comments section, someone said Andy actually played quite well.
I've got coffee, I've got water, I am ready for a good old chat with you today. So if you want to kick off with the Super League, if you have all been waiting to hear what happened, this is going to sound like a fictional story, because I'm not sure you're going to quite believe what happened. So we'll start it off with, we went to Wigan. We won 9-1. What a result. I mean, we'd have took a draw or something like that. Good side, Wigan. But 9-1. Unfortunately, I know you're all now shouting at the screen, or if you're listening on the podcast, Andy, surely you weren't the one. I was the one. I was the only one in the team that lost. Now, that kind of sounds pretty horrific. And I'm sure you can imagine the banter on the coach on the way home. Oh, ex-pro, can't win a game, etc., etc.
Mission brand manager.
Yeah. And it is kind of like my worst nightmare. I wanted to go. I wanted to get a W. I wasn't bothered about average. And sadly, I came up against their best player. Now, I didn't know him, to be fair. I put the practice in, like I said I was going to do. I'm not going to go through every dart, but I kicked off with a 17 darter. I then went, I missed double 14 for a 12 darter in the second. Actually took it out in 13. So I've gone 17-13 to go 2-0 up, thinking happy days. The guys come back, played really well the next two legs to make it 2-2. And this is unfortunately where it all goes wrong. So at 2-2, I kick off with a 180. I hit a ton 40. And then I hit three single numbers to leave tops. So I'm on tops after 12, and the other guy's on 260 or something like that. And this is where I made a rookie mistake. And you're going to jump all over me for this. I missed tops inside, hit the wire. I missed tens inside, hit the wire. Now, bear in mind, he's on 260 odd. I think I should be busting it now, and I didn't. I go at double five, and I go inside, and I leave five. He comes down from 260 to whatever. I go for single one and miss it. I bust. He then comes down again. I then hit single one, miss double two, and then he takes out. So what should have been a 13-14 dart leg ends up I've had 21-22 darts and still not finished, and he takes the leg. And I look back afterwards and went, how long did you play the game? You know full well you should have gone back to tops with three darts in hand. Don't give yourself, you know, any chance to make a mess of it. And I'm one of the guys who shouts at the TV when I see pros do it. I shout at the TV, what are you doing? What are you doing? The other guy can't finish. And then I go and do exactly that. So in the end, I lost 4-2 and I averaged 80. I had the second highest average in our team, but lost. So, yeah, give me your thoughts.
Well, my first thought is that was the short version, apparently, and that took 4 minutes, 10 seconds. So I'm not going to do a play-by-play 4 minutes later. So I've hit a ton, he's hit a ton, I've hit a 140. So, yeah.
But what's your take on the top situation? Would you have busted?
I think it's personal preference. I would go for it still, and that's because if you've got a chance of going out on a leg, I don't see why you'd burst it and go back. So, yeah, I personally would have gone for it as well, but that's just because I'm seeing
it. That makes me feel better. Right. But yeah. You'd have hit it.
I don't know about that. Yeah.
Apparently I was averaging 93 at the time. Can you imagine if I'd come away, you know, with an average?
You'd be going to the seniors qualifiers.
I would, yeah. And I've noticed in the comments last week, somebody saying, has Andy never won a seniors event or not? And I'm like, I'm only 50. I don't think they thought I've been like, I'm like 62 or something. I'm only 53. I've only been eligible for 3 years. But Have I read it right? They've now dropped it to 45.
45, yeah. And they've got rid of the tour and moved it to ADC.
I'm not a fan, Matt.
Do you know what? 45's
too young.
Go on, let's do it. I weren't going to do this, but let's do it. Why not? I'm not a fan of it at all. At the start of the year, they sat there at the Circus Tavern and did an interview on TV where they said, we are now going to start using the ranking system and the money list to select these tournaments. We're moving away from invitationals and we are going to back the people that are supporting our tour. And by the end of the season, they've changed it back to predominantly being invitationals. Now, I understand the business side of it. I understand that. I understand that they need it for the viewing figures, for what the TV want to see. I get it. I would never have changed it in the first place. But the fact you changed it, and then before the next season's even started it, you've changed it back at the end of the season where people may have committed to the tour to support that tour for those opportunities, and then you've changed it again. That's the bit that don't sit right with me.
Mm. I mentioned this yesterday, and a couple of people, first of all, shouted out, why are Peter Wright, Gary Anderson, etc., not playing? And I might be wrong, but I said, I believe if you're in the top 32 on the PDC, you can't enter. Is that right? Or is it top 64? No,
it's a non-affiliated tour. It's a private organization, which means as tour card holders, they can't play in it. It's on TV.
Anybody with a tour card.
Yep. It's on TV, so you can't play in it. And under PDC contract, you cannot play in a tournament that uses the word world in its title.
Yeah, I know we spoke about this the other week. Yeah. Right, so it is literally a case of, so at the moment, Steve Beaton couldn't play, Mervyn King couldn't play because they've got tour cards. When they've not got tour cards, so I'm presuming they can continue, if they wanted to play the Challenge Tour and the seniors. Fine.
Because you're not PDC contracted, you're just a PDPA member.
So it gets really complicated.
And I can tell you something really, I've got some insight for you here, something really interesting. So a couple of years ago, I lost in the qualifier for the World Championships, which would pretty much guarantee I'd lose my tour card. I needed about like 16 people to pull out of the World Championship for me to be in because I didn't know, I was far off, so I was going to lose my tour card.
Yeah.
So I said, and I sent a message in, and I says, I'm not going to be used by the PDC no more. I've got 1 month left on my contract because it ends in January. I said, I'm not going to be used by the PDC no more. You've got there's no tournaments for me to play in. You've got no intention of using me for anything. This contract essentially is null and void. Am I allowed to go to the Lakeside qualifier because I can't play the PDC World Championships and my contract's up in January? They said no. They said no. So at this point in time, Steve Beaton, Mervyn King, Vincent van der Voort, they've all lost their tour cards. Mm. But they're not going to be allowed to play in anything until that expires in January. They wouldn't be allowed to play in anything in December. They wouldn't let them. Or it'd be just different with my situation. But with my situation, they wouldn't let me enter the Lakeside qualifiers.
Interesting. Interesting that. I was wondering at that point whether you could have said, well, I resign or I hand back my tour card or...
You can, the tour cards are different. The tour card is different to the contract. So when you get a tour card...
It's interesting when you talk about contracts. Now, it's a long, long time since I had mine. It's 12 years or something since, maybe 11 years or something since I had mine. Now, obviously, I only played January. I got my tour card in January. I only played until May of that year. And then I went to see Alan Warren and I said, Alan, I'm really sorry. I'm not going to tell a story. I've told it 100 times. But I can no longer play due to personal circumstances. Therefore, somebody else take my place. And obviously, whoever's next on the rankings, et cetera, et cetera. I never at any point then considered that I was still under contract. I just went and did whatever I wanted to do.
I don't know if they had them in 2011, though. It might have been something that came in after. Because at that point, all you'd have done is you'd have just been a PDPA member. And you'd have had that membership, where now there's different. So like people think the DRA rule book is everything. The DRA rulebook is one thing. The PDC players contract is another. So got there's you. Two different sets, and you've got to make sure that you know both. So, yeah, the PDC players contract, I mean, I'll never publish it, but I certainly, no, if you ever wanted to see it, I could show you it. You've ever got like about 6 hours at least to sit and read it, because it is about 100 pages long. And some of the things that are in there, like I've done a video before where I picked out like six things you might not know. And there's some really interesting things in there that happen, and you don't realize that actually happen because of these things that are in the contract. For example, one of the reasons I don't think I could ever go back to the PDC, I get asked all the time. I mean, I was in the live yesterday, and I think every other question was, are you going Q school? So one of the things is to do with image rights. And essentially, if I was to get a PDC player's contract, they could take Edgar TV off of me.
Really?
Because they've got the image rights for broadcasting, streaming, etc., things like that. So they, you know, if they really wanted to be treated, they would never do that. I don't think they'd do that for a million years. They love what I do on YouTube, on social medias and things. That's why we work together. So I don't think for a second they would, but according to paperwork, it's a possibility.
Okay.
So, in fact, they've actually actively promoted it. So I know they wouldn't, because they've actively promoted it. We've done videos together on there. So I know it would never happen. It's just, there's that.
It's possible.
Yeah.
Got you. So while we're talking PDC, and before we get into tournaments and stuff, I think you should mention Dom Taylor at this point. I've seen that he's been banned. It's they've not really released too much other than it's a drug infringement, taking a banned substance, whatever they call it now. They don't say what it is. Sad news, really sad news. We were only talking about him last week as a potential to upset the first round draw.
Michael Smith, yeah.
Yeah. Michael Smith, yeah. And then next minute we hear that, yeah, talk about timing, but, you know, I can probably say more about this than you can, but I find it frustrating. I find it frustrating when you hear about this in any sport. I kind of think, guys, you know what the rules are. You know, it's almost like, you know, if you're going to drive to work every day, but you've been on the vodka. You know, eventually you're getting found out, mate. You're going to lose your license. You're going to be banned from driving. It's kind of like, you know, the rules are there. So why would you take that? This is your livelihood. You know, this is your livelihood. It's like me walking into the office tomorrow and telling the CEO to F off. You know, it's like, I know that there's consequences to that. Therefore, you're not ever going to do that. You know, I just find it strange, Matt.
You
know, I mean, I know you can't say too much, but it's just frustrating.
I'm thinking how to word this. So let's say, for example, so you said there that they should know the things. I think there could be also naivety here as well, because people, I'm going to use the word, are stupid at times. Now, let's say, for argument's sake, this is a recreational drug rather than a sports performance. So we're just going to stay on the side of it being a recreational drug. Now, let's just say this person has used recreational drugs throughout their sort of from late teens onwards sort of thing.
Yeah.
And they've not seen an issue with that, and it's not been a problem and all this. And then you get into this professional world, but you don't understand what a professional world is. Now, yes, the PDPA will do a meeting with you. They'll do all these different things, but the likelihood also of getting pulled for a drugs test is very low. I was on the tour for 11 years and I got pulled once. I know some people that have not been pulled at all. I know some people that have been pulled multiple times. I think Kevin Dowling, if you remember Kevin Dowling, I think he got pulled about 11 times. He got pulled every year, maybe. But it's just the look of the draw. So if you're unfamiliar with what the drugs testing situation is, how it happens, they can turn up to a pro tour, development tour, challenge tour, a TV event, or if you are a contracted player, they can turn up to your house. So they can turn up at any time. Now, what they'll tend to do is they'll come in and they'll have four chaperones, for example, and they'll go, right, I want the first loser off of board 1, 5, 7, and 9. And if you lose that game without you even knowing, board official will come up and say, Matt, you've been selected at random for a drugs test. Here's your chaperone. You go off for 8 hours, potentially. That's how long they can hold you for, 8 hours. So it's completely random. So was it ignorance that you thought maybe you wouldn't get seen, or was it naivety? It's got to be one of the two, especially when we're potentially talking about a recreational drug. So I would say it's a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B. The biggest issue he's now put that dot on his CV. Yeah. As a sponsor, would you go, that's the guy we want to get?
Not a chance. Absolutely not a chance. And you can say about anything. You're almost rolling the dice here. You're rolling the dice with the rest of your life because you know, the match fixing, the gambling, and they've cracked down massively on that, especially modus, et cetera, et cetera. People have got done for that and got bans. You know, it may be recreational. Maybe he's gone out of the weekend. Maybe he's had it doesn't matter whether it's it doesn't matter whether it's a joint or it's something harder than that. The fact is, in the back of your mind, you know that Monday morning, it's still going to be in your system, and you could lose your livelihood. So what we're basically saying is, would you get in a car drunk? Would you fix your match and get somebody to gap bet on you? It's the same thing, Matt. All of these things are going to ruin your darts career. So how about you set your mind to do whatever the hell you want, but don't do the things that could ruin the rest of your life. Now, we all do silly things when we're younger. But there's, you know, go out and get drunk. You know, you know my rants on managers. Where are the managers going? Look, Dom, whatever you do, do not do this. Yeah? Otherwise, your career's over.
You know my job beforehand. I worked in a professional football academy as one of my roles. I know what your job is. We've sat down on this channel and spoke about what we expect from if we're looking for a player to sponsor. We link very, very closely in what we look at for people. So when I would look at a player, I wouldn't just look at his ability. I wouldn't just go, is he a good footballer? Is he quick? These are all extra. So first of all, is he a good footballer? Is obviously paramount. Can he play the game? Then you look for the extra factors. How tall is he? How fast is he? Can he use both feet? All these things. But for me, I looked even deeper than that. And the big X factor for me was, what are the parents like? Are the parents supportive? What's his family like? Does both parents drive? Do they have access to a car? You know, you look at all these extra factors. And the most important thing is, what is the support network like around this person? What we can see here is potentially that support network around that person has failed.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what you're saying there, essentially, with where is the team to say to him?
Yeah.
You could get pulled for testing here, lad.
Yeah. Look, it's your life. If that's your thing, I like a glass of wine or two, you know, I like the odd cigar or two, but none of that's ever going to get me banned from anything unless I was to jump in a car, which I would never do. But if recreational drugs was my thing, well, then guess what? Professional sport isn't for you. You know, if you're quite happy having recreational drugs for, you know, then find a different career. You know, professional sport's not for you. It's that simple. And I think that's enough said about it. I think it's frustrating. I think it's disappointing. I'm disappointed for the lad because he showed a lot of potential. But like you say, how does he ever, you know, if he comes back from this, how does he ever get sponsored again?
And I think the big issue, I think I struggle with this topic though, because I've never smoked. I've never touched a drug in my life. I barely drink. So I think I've struggled with this because I'm always a person that lives on natural, like I love adrenaline. I love it.
You're not lacking in that. You're not.
I love adrenaline. I love living life fast. So I don't quite understand the the disconnect that is associated with life and the out-of-body feeling you get from this. I just love doing it. So I don't quite get it. There'll probably be people listening to this that understand the position, go, oh, it's so unfortunate, or they'll understand it in a different way.
Yeah.
But I just don't get it. And now when we look at the band size, so we've seen in the past, Richie Burnett was a year. We've seen other examples. I think this is going to be a larger one because the game needs to be cleaner than ever. I think we're talking potentially 2 years or maybe 18 months that will cover across 2 years, essentially. Because you've got to remember this as well, right? Band sizes can be tactical. So let's say, for example, they banned him now for 13 months. They'd go, oh, that's quite lenient. He should have got 2 years. He will get 2 years because he can't go to Q school. So he's missing 2 years of professional sport. So you can make a ban size very, or if they leave the sentence in until February and say he's got a year, he's actually got two years because he misses one school, he's winning another one. So he misses 2 years at all. So you can be really tactical with how you do it. So you're not setting a precedent to say like, oh, we're doing it harsher for him than for him.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's sad, but it needed mentioning. And I want to jump onto the players now. I've held back for 20 minutes, but there's so much to talk about. Can we do something before you do that? Before we do.
You just said something was sad there. Do you not have a wardrobe?
I do. It's over there.
Oh, right. Okay. Or is this just really clever product placement? Because I'm noticing in the background.
Oh, why is there a shirt? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I thought today, you know, people are sick of seeing my bed in the background. So I thought I'll put a mission shirt on it. Why not?
You've even put a coat hanger on it as well.
Yeah. So it hangs up. It's good that you like that. And I've got, you probably can't, I don't know if you can tell, I've got a new mission hoodie on. It's like British Racing Green. I don't know if you can tell coming through the camera or not, but. Of course, you would have your new mission hoodie on if I'd actually put the mission logo on it before I sent it to you. But I just sent you a plain hoodie, didn't I? But there you go.
Well, I've seen you. I've seen you on Monday.
Indeed, yes.
The side of the lakes.
So yeah, got my new mission hoodie on, which is beautiful, racing green. It's comfy as anything. It's lovely. So I want to talk about Mickey Mansell. You know, I love a rant. Mickey Mansell moaning. That's what I want to talk about. Mickey Mansell's been moaning that he can't do his job. I think he's a joiner. He can't do his job as a joiner because the Pro Tours are now midweek. And he's been having a right old rant about it that I can't do my job because I can't play darts and do my job. Well, hang on a minute. Guess what? Choose a job, right? Stop trying to have your cake and eat it. Right, either be a professional dart player or be a professional joiner, because I'm not having this now. There is enough money on the tour, right? You've got a tour card. Guess what? It's free entry now. When I was playing, it was, and you, it was it £100 a tournament?
£105. Like
right, yeah. You've got your tour card. You've got free entry into 30 pro tours, right, throughout the year, of which the money's phenomenal. You've then got, he plays World Cup. You've got so many avenues to make your living out of darts. Do not moan that darts is getting in the way of your other job. I'm not having that. Have you ever heard Alan Souter moan about the fact that he has to, he doesn't want to leave the fire brigade. He absolutely loves being a fireman. He's saving lives and he finds a way to fit that around his darts, but he never, ever moans.
Okay, so I see both sides. I see what you're saying, but I also see the side from a player's perspective. Now, I can speak of this from experience because I've lived the lifestyle. I made the choice, but I never fully gave up my job. What I did is I dropped down to 2 hours a week. So when I say I went professional, I was still working at the school. I was just coaching 2 hours a week. So I would literally just go in and do extracurricular and I'd just teach football for 2 hours a week. They paid me very, very well for that, to be fair. So it still gave me an income. Darts doesn't guarantee the income. Now, for example, you look at someone like Mickey Mansell. He's got to pay for flights because he lives in Ireland. He's got to pay for accommodation. He's then landed in the UK where he's not going to have his car, so he's going to have to pay for taxis. And then everything in reverse plus all the expense. So I would say for Mickey Mantle to come to a pro tour, he's looking between £400 to £600, depending on the time of year. Because remember that prices fluctuate on flights, depending if it's around Christmas time, if it's summertime, things like that. So he's got all that expense, but he's got nothing guaranteed to come back. He's guaranteed that he's got to spend money. He's not guaranteed to make anything. Now, when he goes to work, he's guaranteed that when he goes out and he uses his time, he's going to come back with an income. Now, let's say he goes to the Pro Tour and he doesn't win a game in February. He's not made any money, but he's spent over a grand. But he's not made anything, but he's spent a grand. So now how does he pay his bills? Because he's a grand in debt and he's got no income.
So tough shit. There you go. Tough shit. I'm sorry. I'm totally, totally against. I get that you're putting both sides across here. You name me right now another sport where you can be a professional sportsman and continue to have a full-time job doing something else. Give me a sport now. And you won't give me one.
But that's
you
the thing.
You will not give me one.
That's the thing. He's not a professional sportsman. What is the definition of professional?
He is a professional dart player. He has a tour card to play on the professional
circuit.
Not a professional. You cannot play on that circuit without a tour card.
Yeah, but that doesn't make you a professional dart player. A professional is somebody who makes their living from that activity. Yep. So if I'm a hairdresser, I'm a professional hairdresser. When I was a football coach, I was a professional football coach. You are a professional at what you do. If you don't make money from it, if there's no money coming in, you're not a professional. So essentially, if he goes to the Pro Tours in February, don't win a game, essentially he's unemployed.
So therefore, he's only relying on tournaments to make his money. Why? Why is he not doing a few local exhibitions? Why is he not doing a little bit of coaching? Why is he not going to local tournaments when he's got time? Why is he not giving advice or writing for a darts magazine or approaching Mission and saying, "Is there anything I can do for you or whoever his sponsor is?" There are a million, as you know, avenues. You might not make a lot of money, but enough money to tide you by in the time when you're not playing darts. Okay. There's a million avenues. So, you know, a professional golfer, a professional tennis player, they don't have other jobs. Now, if you do that 2 years, and you might have to borrow the money, right? You might have to borrow the money off your friends, off your family, take a loan, whatever. You give it your all as a professional dart player for 2 years. If you don't make it, go back to doing your job. Right, but at least you've had a go.
See,
and that was always what I
find it hard because I've seen 11 years on the tour, you see a lot. I know people now that still are paying off credit card debts because they gave it a go.
Yeah.
And they're still indebted now. And we're talking 5, 6, 7 years later. So some of it comes down to personal. Like I could never have done it that way because we had 4 children at a young age. We had the household. You know, it could never have been the way where I went, right, I'm going to do full-time darts. Yes, the money's there, but it's there when you break the very, very top of the game. At the moment,
Matt, it's a business, right? When I started Perfect Darts as a business, do you not think I had to borrow some money in the hope that I made it successful? Just like any business. If you go and set up a business tomorrow, you're going to need some money. Now, either you've already got that money or you're going to borrow that money. And taking the leap to being a professional player, if you've got to borrow the money, it's just you are yourself now a business and you've got to make that pay.
Yeah.
I get that's not for everybody. It clearly wasn't for me. I had to pull out because of family. I made the decision that I couldn't be a professional dart player and have a newborn child and run a business. I couldn't do that. So something had to give. Now, had I been 21, 25 with different responsibilities, I would have absolutely given it my all for 2 years. And if I'd come out 20 grand in debt, so be it. I would have given it my all.
Okay, let me put it to another perspective here then. It's quite an interesting one. So are we saying then the issue is the players, or are we saying the issue is the system? Because via the system that's in place, when you have a tour car, you have reached the pinnacle of that system. Whether that's JDC, Development Tour, Challenge Tour, whatever it is, you've hit the pinnacle. Now, if we then get in the top 64 of the pinnacle of the system, you don't get given a tour car, you have to win one. You have earned the right to be what most people like yourself think when you got a tour card, you're a professional player. And then you're in the top half of the top system in the tiered system they have, and you still can't guarantee yourself a yearly salary.
I just always compare it to other sports. And it's the, you know, I mean, God help you if you were trying to play, be a professional golfer. Yeah. You get your tour card, you're flying all over the world. They are 4-day events. You've got to book hotels for five nights. You've got to pay your caddy, even if you don't win a penny, you're paying your cat. I mean, tennis, all these other sports, it's well, the
there's
same,
a bigger
right?
pot of gold at the end of the rainbow.
There's
as
a
well,
bigger pot. Yeah. Yeah. So look, the way I looked at it was, as you will do or did, you've got 2 years to get in that top 64. If you do, you are then making a decent living and you can then push on from that. If you don't make it in the 64 and you lose your card, you've had a go. Now you either then decide, well, I'm going to have another go, or that's it. You've had your go.
Okay. So again, I'm going to just put another angle in.
I don't think it should be on a plate.
And it's not on a plate. You've earned it.
No, but it's so much easier now. No entry fees now.
And the money's going to go up again, which might make a difference. But now what I can say is I've done this in reverse. So I worked part-time, and I worked very much so to be a professional dart player. And then I was a professional dart player, bar 2 hours a week that I used to work still. That's because I love coaching. I love coaching. And I weren't doing it with the darts at the time, and I was still going into a school to do that. So love me coaching. Now, I've done it in reverse in the fact that I was used to that lifestyle where if I don't win, I don't get paid. I got used to that. And that was inbred in me that was life. Over the last couple of years, I've had a different lifestyle. If I go to work, I get paid. If I go away for a week, I know when I come back from that week's work, I'm getting paid. With that, would I ever go back to the Pro Tour? If there was no guaranteed earnings there, I don't think I could ever commit to, because it's so disheartening when you practice all week and you train and you do everything right and you go there, you play really well and you come home and it's cost you money.
Yeah.
That's so disheartening. So with that, I know I go away for a week, I get paid. If I go away for 2 weeks, I get paid. Whatever I do now, when I get back, I know that it's going to be worthwhile. I don't go away coming back. Mrs. goes, oh, what's happened? Oh, we've just lost 600 quid this week.
Yeah.
As a professional player, I shouldn't be invoiced. Yeah.
I do get what you're saying, but it's risk and reward, isn't it? You know, if Luke Humphries had made that decision, he wouldn't have earned £1 million this year that he's earned.
But I also think the risk and reward comes at Q School. That's where it should be. You've won. I mean, maybe this is another thing here then. What we should be saying is maybe what the solution to this is, because I'm thinking of maybe a bit earlier down the line, you're thinking of someone who's in the top 64 already. Maybe what the solution is, when you get your tour card at Q School, you get a tour card and $5,000. That covers those costs for your first year or whatever. Because the risk and rewards there, you're telling me, essentially, you think someone goes to Q School, spends $1,500 to get through Q School, and then goes in the next day and gives him the P45. Where does that money come from?
Well, look, an electrician goes to college, right? Pays his college fees for 2-3 years, learns how to be an electrician.
And then gets guaranteed money. Every day he goes to work, he gets paid.
Where's his guaranteed? Whoa. Where's his guaranteed money?
Well, when he gets his job,
he goes
to college.
He hasn't got a job. All he's got is a qualification.
Yeah, but
that's college. He's got a qualification. He's got no job. He's got to go out and find that job and find that money coming in.
But where's that? Is that Q School? Is that way before Q School? We're talking the professional ranks here. I think what you're talking about going to college is
before Q School. I don't think there's any easy money.
That's the challenge tour.
Yeah, I think we'll always disagree on this. I know we talked last week about if somebody wins in the top 64, a major, they should then go into the top 32. Mm. And I disagree with that. So I think we're both coming from different angles on this. I think the people can get in the comments and say, what do you think? Should there be guaranteed money if you get a tour card? Should
I'm not sure about guaranteed money. I just don't think you should have the ability to lose money.
It's an interesting one, because I bet there's 1,000 people listening to this now that would give their right arm to have a 2-year tour card.
And I bet there's million people.
They would happily go $20,000 in debt for that opportunity.
I bet there's 1 million people listening to it who couldn't afford to give it a go because they'd have to give up their job.
In most sports,
1 million people is probably going to be 30 or 40 people that are better than the players that are on the tour now.
Yeah.
And if you want a meritocracy, if you want the best players at the top, you have to remove barriers to participation. And let's say going to college, that's your challenge tour, that's your development tour. That's not Q school.
I'm not a massive tennis fan, but I've watched documentaries and heard professional players talking about this a lot. If you aren't from a certain background, that of which tennis becomes a sport that's available to you growing up, and clubs and your parents take you everywhere and you get all the latest gear and et cetera, and the parents end up thousands and thousands of pounds they have to spend, you will never make it as a professional tennis player. It is impossible to do. You can't just go, I've got a bit of talent, I'll give it a go. You can't do it. You have to come from a certain demographic, shall we say, and hit the right people at the right time. So that makes that a very elitist sport. And you never hear the kind of rags to riches story in tennis. It just doesn't exist. Darts, I think, gives you the opportunity to come from any background. And the money that's in it now compared to when we were playing, if we look back 10 years ago, is huge. I'd like to think, if I took it seriously again, I would make some money in that 2 years. Now, whether I made enough to pay my expenses, I don't know. Whether I made more than that, I don't know. I think it's fairly impossible to win nothing if you've won a tour card. You're clearly of a standard, if you've won a tour card, that you can't go 2 years and not win a game. Therefore, with the money that's in it now, you should be winning enough to at least pay your expenses. You might not be making a living. You might not be making and that's down to you. I think the opportunities are big. And to go back to my original point, why should the PDC, who are putting on incredible amounts of sponsorship, they're doing the hard work putting these tournaments together to give you the opportunity, why should they say, oh, don't worry, lads, we'll only put these on at weekends so you can all carry on having a second job? That's not down to them.
I think the problem is because they don't have professional players. That's where the issue lies. If you want a professional tour, you need to treat people professionally. Now, the answer to that, I think, is very simple. In snooker, same organisation that owns the PDC, they get £20,000 a year guaranteed for having a tour card.
I didn't know that.
£20,000 guaranteed. So why in darts? If they was to say £20,000 a year guaranteed and then people still went out to work, that's on you. You've got a guarantee here. You can get your head down. You can work. That's enough to cover your expenses and your bills. You should be earning yourself from now. I would fully agree with you. I'd be harsh on it. I'd probably be a lot harsher than you are on it if that was in place.
And the interesting thing is with this, and I'm sorry, Mickey, if you're listening, it sounds like I'm having a right rant at you, but the interesting thing is, I think he's a joiner. Now, I would have thought that if you're a self-employed joiner, you could say, oh, I'm free Wednesday, Thursday next week. I'll fit Mr. Smith in then. I'll do a bit of work for him. And then the week after, I think I'm free Monday, Tuesday. So I'll fit Mr. Jones in then. That's got to be easier than somebody who is a Monday to Friday, he's got a job at British Aerospace, he's got a nice little cushy number in an office teacher. Monday to Friday. School teacher, yeah. Yeah, yeah. He can't go to his school and say, oh, I'm sorry, I'm only available 2 days this week, three next week, and one day the week. He's got no chance. It's game over for him. He's either darts or teaching. But for somebody who has the ability to earn here and there, bits of it just felt like I didn't like it. And that's we've had a good old rant on that, Matt. We have to move on. We're 40 minutes in and we haven't talked about what's been a brilliant Players' Championship. And the fact that your pick, your outsider pick, James Wade, and my outsider pick, Mervyn King, did really well.
Yeah, it went really well, that, didn't it? Yeah, we'll do that again sometime.
Yeah, we'll do that again. So yeah. What did you make of it? I mean,
I don't think the story is the two Lukes making the final. I think the big story is what on earth is happening with Dart's recognisable names, Gerwyn Price, Michael van Gerwen, Peter Wright. They are falling away. Michael Smith could be outside the world's top 16. Michael van Gerwen's going to be outside the top four. Peter Wright's now outside the top 16.
Yeah.
The world van of darts Gerwyn is going to change so much over the next month.
Was it Ian White? Like, was he 6-0 or something? He was
destroyed him.
That's like, what? Ian White, who's done nothing, really, plays MVG, does him 6, like, he's mad. I don't know what, like you say, what's happened? With the exception of the two Lukes, what on earth is going on? What on earth is going on? And do you know what? I never thought Luke Humphries was winning that tournament. I watched a lot of it, and I thought, he's not his best here. He's averaging 92, 93. He's getting over the line. To turn it on in a final with your best average of the tournament, that's class. There's no other word for it. That's absolute class. When Littler, I'm sure everybody watching thought Littler was winning it because he played brilliant.
For the last two tournaments.
Yeah. Yeah. It just incredible.
You've got to give a shout here as well to Connor Scott, mission player, reaching the quarterfinal, missing out by one leg to Durbin, Dive and Boda.
Ryan Joyce, quarters as well.
Do you know what?
Well done, Ryan.
I keep talking about Connor, and it may be because we're in communication quite regularly, but I love everything what he's doing right now. His passion for the game, but what he does is he doesn't look at it and go, I'm here, brilliant. Darts is full of people that are so ignorant, who think they know it all. He's got to a level and he goes, what's going to make me better? And he asks all the time, people that was there before. He speaks to people about the topics he doesn't understand. He doesn't pretend to be an expert. And this is one thing I really like about him, because, and I think it might just because I find it quite relatable, if there's something I don't know, I want to know about it and I want to teach myself about that topic, whether it's through going on courses, whether it's through self-education, whatever it is, I want to educate myself on a topic I don't know so I get a better all-rounding. That's him. I'm going to tell you anyway. I don't normally.
I love the way that you always set things up that you're not going to talk about, and then you go, yeah, I'm going to tell you anyway.
Yeah, I don't normally like to talk about interactions, and I don't think Connor will mind me sharing this. But Connor looks so deep into his game that he even looked into nutrition. And it was down to a point where he said, I can't really eat breakfast in the morning. I don't quite like that. Now, he knows I've got qualifications in nutrition, knows what my job was previously. And he asked me, he says, is there anything I can do? Because I feel sick when I eat in the morning. And I gave him a link to a brand of drink. So it's a liquid form, which is essentially a meal replacement, proteins, carbs, slow release carbs, fiber, full vitamin and mineral profile. And I said, it's about £4.20 a drink, but it's worth it. It's got everything. If you go out and pay for a meal or you pay for a breakfast, you'll pay more than £4.20 for a breakfast.
Oh, yeah.
So treat this as you're having breakfast and just drink it. And he tried one. He said it was really nice. And then he's been using them. And he says he feels great. And it's like those little things, even looking into the nutritional side of things, I don't know any player that will. And that's why Connor Scott is going to be a major champion. He is going to be. Because until he is, he will look and look for those little percentages, and he doesn't focus on the negative. He focuses on building blocks, positive. He is the absolute dream candidate for anybody to mentor or work with, because he is literally a dart injury. And he's got so much passion for the game and love for the sport. He doesn't look at this as in a sense of, oh, I'm doing it for the money. The money's great, but that's not his primary drive. Then his work ethic. He practices 8 hours a day. Now, I know there's a lot of people who say, oh, I practice 8 hours a day. Bull. They don't practice 8 hours a day.
No, even they throw darts 8 hours a day. That's the difference.
I wouldn't even say they do that. The amount of people that tell me they do, and I know they don't.
Yeah.
Because they're sat on PlayStation Network and I see their name come up and then they sit there going, I've been playing 8 hours. No, you haven't. You've been on PlayStation. I've been watching you playing FIFA all day. Or we've been playing FIFA. You haven't been practicing, but they're sitting in the interview going, yeah, I've been putting the hours in this week. I'm ready for it. Yeah. Hang on, we played FIFA for 4 hours the other day. When did you do 8 hours practice?
It is, and it's something that I've talked about in mentoring and coaching before, is there is a difference between practicing for 3 hours and throwing darts for 3 hours. And we'll talk about that more in depth another time. But if the 3 hours isn't constructive practice, then it's kind of pointless. It needs to be. And kind of, I know Connor does do that. So you're right. And I've mentored and still do mentor professional players. And it's all about those 1%, those 1% gains. Can you eat better than the person you're going to be playing? Yes, you can. Can you watch what you're drinking better? Can you work out where everything is in the venue when you turn up? Whereas the other people are like, oh, where's the toilet? Where's the registration? Where's my spare case? You know, all those little gains that you can do over other people. Have you got a spare shirt with you? And people go, why would I want a spare shirt? Well, what if somebody spills a drink over you? I never thought of that. You know, all these little 1% that you get, and Connor's into all that. So you're right, with the nutrition, with the way he practices, he's ready.
He will be a major champion. And I have not, I rarely get excited about a player. The last person I got excited about, and I got criticized for this, right? I got criticized to the hill. And there are posts on Facebook, which if I really could be bothered, I'll go dig out, from players, from managers, who were digging me out, calling me an idiot. Because I was saying, this guy's world champion, this guy's world champion. Luke Humphries.
Wow.
And I got criticized for talking about, and people would even go, Matt, can you not mention Luke Humphries' name without saying future world champion? And to the point, like I said, people was bagging me out on Facebook going, Matt Edgar doesn't know what he's on about. He thinks Luke Humphries is going to go do this. And he's just lost in the first round of the world match play. And it's like, just wait. Just have patience. It's going to happen. That is Connor. Connor is going to be that guy.
And I think that's where we do have a really big insight into stuff. And this isn't us bigging ourselves up or anything, but I was the same when I met Mike Dedeker. I was like, this guy has to be a major champion. No, obviously they've got to have a good throw. You can't take, you know, somebody with the worst throw in the world and say he's going to be world champion because he's going to do all the right things. So you're looking at, wow, yeah, I love the throw. The temperament's phenomenal. You know, I love a player that it doesn't matter whether they hit 11 or 180. Their demeanor is the same. And I saw Mike and I went, yeah, this guy's a major champion. And he's obviously already, I mean, he's kind of ahead of schedule for me. He's already done his major championship. For me, he's a future world champion as well, without a doubt.
They're just built differently. And you can
see. Yeah, they're built differently. Yeah. So some of us perhaps, or let's say some of us, but some of the people we see, we kind of go, yeah, I'm going to give you 9 out of 10 for your action. I'm going to give you 9 out of 10 for where I think you are ability wise. Unfortunately, your temperaments are 3 out of 10 and your lifestyles are 2 out of 10. Therefore, all that added up, I don't think you ever win a major. Then you get other players where where they make the absolute best of what they had. Now, I wasn't Mike Dedeker, I wasn't any of that. But I absolutely got 100% out of what I had. And what little ability I had, I got 100% out of it by eating right, by practicing right, by turning up right, by being ready, and I got the most of it. And I'm sure you, like me, will have seen lots of players that are not getting out of themselves what they could.
Who is better, in your opinion, James Wade or Kirk Shepherd?
Better in what sense?
At playing darts. Who's a better dart player?
James Wade.
but Kirk Shepherd's played in a World Championship final. James Wade hasn't.
Yeah.
You know, yes. Who's a better dart player, Dave Chisnell or Richie Edhouse?
Dave Chisnell.
But Richie Edhouse has won a major title. Dave Chisnell hasn't. Because just being a better player, there's something different about certain people. And
yes,
it's not just an ability test, because that ability test is going to come down to a 72 finish at a crucial moment to win, to turn a match. We get one dart in your hand at double 16, you've gone single, and it's that moment. And the ability test covers 98-99% of the match, and then there's just that small percentage where you need something mentally different about you that changes the moment, changes the game. Those people have got it. You don't need to be the best ability. Look at the Pro Tour. What's his name? Ricardo Petrescu.
Yeah.
His seasonal average is like 97th in the averages. He's outside the world's top 32, because there's something about him that knows how to win.
So we always pose a question, and I didn't have one ready, and it's just come to me now. So I want you to give me, from the world of darts, and from BDO or PDC, from past or present, I want you to give me one overachiever and one underachiever in the world of darts. So somebody that's won more than probably you think they deserve to have won, and somebody that really hasn't won what they should have won.
I think underachiever is always hard, because I think you always get what you're given. Yes, some people may have more ability, but the application...
Chizzy's my underachiever. So yes, top five in the world, Premier Leagues, never won a major. Ridiculous to have that much talent and never won a major.
Overachiever.
And I'll give you my overachiever if you want, because I've posed the question.
Go on.
My overachiever is Peter Wright. Ooh. So when I first... And that's because when I saw...
Arguably one of the best players of all time.
Without a doubt. And came onto the scene, and I thought, what an awful action. Awful action. Like nowhere near straight back and through. Not particularly healthy. Doing all the dancing about on stage. Changing his darts every 5 minutes. To me, all that says, somebody that's making a living out of it. And yet, multiple major winner, world champion. He can retire at any point, look at his career and gone, Christ, did I do well. I came from the BDO where I did nothing, did absolutely nothing. I was a nobody, got on the PDC, changed my image. Didn't have the greatest action in the world. You know, wasn't particularly healthy, but look what I have achieved. Look what I've achieved. So he's my overachiever.
Okay. I reckon some people may agree, some people may hate me on this. I'm going to go with Christian Kist
as
overachiever, because Lakeside World Champion at a time that tournament was very, very relevant. But spent the majority of his time on challenge tours and not even being a tour card holder. So I would go with Kist, but on the same aspect, I also understand that he's had a lot of injury issues. So it may be harsh. So it could be a very harsh one, but based purely on results, I'd go with Kist. But he certainly shows ability at times. That's why I say it's such a hard one. But that's why if you're going to go with a win, maybe you could even John Walton. In there, someone who won Lakeside, but never really followed it with anything else. So I think if you're going to call yourself a world champion, which is what that they do from winning the championship in that organization, I think I think this is a great topic to end with, actually, because people go, the Lakeside haven't really had any relevance since Glenn Durrant won it. That's the general conception. However, I think it's how things age. Now, had Luke Littler won Lakeside when he went there 2 years ago, now you'd look and go, what a great stepping stone it is. He went there, won that 2 years ago, now he's here doing this. So I think it's down to the champion, which is where Andy Barton's hadn't franked the form when he's gone to the PDC and not qualified for the World Championships there. Had he gone to Ali Pali and got to the semi-finals, it would keep that tournament relevant. So I think the relevancy comes off the back of it. Because actually, catch your mind back, even when Barneveld were winning it, people go, oh, it's a rubbish tournament now. All those years, every year Lakeside comes round, people look at it and go, oh, it's terrible. But it's how things age. So let's say, for example, someone like Jimmy Van Ski, who's making waves in darts at the moment, went and won Lakeside and then went on to do what it's looking like he could do, having a good career on the Pro Tour. That would make Lakeside relevant again. So I think,
yeah, like Stephen Bunting. Stephen Bunting won the World Championship BDO and came to the PDC and won the first Pro Tour.
But at the time when Bunting won that, oh, it's a nothing tournament. No one cares about that. But now, oh, he won Lakeside. It's relevant because of what he's gone on to do. So I think who wins the tournament is what makes it relevant, not the tournament anymore. So that's why we need someone like the Edgar to go win it, you know.
We do. And by the time this podcast goes out, I believe you'll have played your first game. Your first game is on Saturday, is it not?
Saturday against Jarno Bottenberg, yes. So I would have played.
And this goes out on Sunday, yeah. So fingers crossed.
We'll be celebrating.
By the time you listen to this, Matt will be through to the next round. And am I right in thinking it's live on YouTube?
It is. It's on Great Game YouTube channel. And then it goes to Blaze for the semis and the finals.
Those of you that don't already know, you'll see it's sponsored by Mission this year. So you'll be playing on Mission boards, which is great. Matt will have his new shirt on. He'll have his new darts on a Mission board. What on earth could go wrong? Is he ready or what?
I was going to say, do you want to see the new shirt? But the problem is they'd already seen it by the time this goes out. So it's not like an intro.
Yes, they will. Yeah, yeah. They'll have seen it on the Saturday when we tune in and see how you get on. So good luck with that. Then after that, of course, we're doing some filming at Lakeside and we've got a competition winner and everything else. But I think we should, if it's okay with you, I just wanted to finish off the podcast this week with a real, we're not doing comments because we've had enough to talk about today, but just a quick glance at the PDC World Championship draw. Just a quick glance. I've got a few here that I've just printed off and just had a look and gone, oh, there's an upset. I mean, the one that stands out is obviously the Luke Littler game. Everybody's going to want to see him, and he could potentially play Fallon Sherrick. That isn't box office, I don't know what is. he's either Ryan Meikle or Fallon Sherrick. Now, that's no disrespect to Ryan, who's a great player, so anything could happen there. But I'm just going to pick out, I've picked out here 8 games for you, and I want you to agree or disagree as to whether this could be an upset. James Wade will play either Jermaine Wattamina or Stefan Belmont. So I'm imagining Wattamina. I've got that down as an upset. So this is where I've thought the seed gets beat.
Okay. The seed gets beat? Okay.
Yeah, Wade gets beat by Wattamina, who's in fantastic form. Peter Wright will play possibly Wesley Plaisier. He's in great form.
Oh, yeah, tricky game.
Very tricky game. Damon Hetter looks like Connor Scutt. That's tough, isn't it? That's really tough for Damon. Rob Cross, seeded 5, looks like playing Scott Williams, who's in form.
Good friends, and they practice together as well.
Yeah. Nathan Aspinall is looking, well, it's either Cameron Menzies or Leonard Gates. I don't think either of them is an easy game for Nathan, who's totally out of form. Can see an upset coming there. I've got Andrew Gilding looking like playing Mission's own Martin Lukeman, who's clearly in form, and Gilding's very up and down at the moment. He's pretty poor in the players. So I can see Martin doing a number there. And I've got 2 more I've picked out. Johnny Clayton, who's doing nothing. Mickey Mansell, who's obviously we talked about quite a bit today.
But a lot of Mickey Mantle can't get the time off.
Yeah, yes. Then Johnny will just
run out of holidays.
Very good. And the last one, Joe Cullen, Wessel Nyman. Now, I'm giving a bit of, obviously, the seeds are playing 1 of 2 qualifiers. So I'm not being disrespectful to Cameron Carolison that Wessel's playing. I'm just picking who I think will get through the prelims. So Joe would play Wessel, and I think Wessel would win that. So I think there's some I think this year, and you've nailed it. You've nailed it early on in the podcast by saying, what's happened to the seeds and the top guys?
Yeah, I think the World Championship's going to blow up, which will be great. Be interesting yeah. watch. Just before it goes to 1-8 as well next year, which we'll talk about that next week. So make sure you are subscribed yeah. to the Mission YouTube channel, because I want to go in depth on this regarding the expansion of the World Championships, extra sessions, extra players, and also the potential of the moving of venue. We'll touch next week. So if you are enjoying the World Championships and things, I'm going to give you lots of insight and sort of, shall we say, an educated fan's perspective, because I do work on both sides of the spectrum.
Absolutely, that'll be really interesting to hear, yeah.
So make sure you subscribe for that. I've got two things for you, Andy, before we go.
Okay.
First of all, you know I can dial anyone into this podcast, don't you?
Yes.
Yes, so I'm just going to quickly bring in Jan Dekker.
Of course you are, yeah.
No, not really. I just want to see your face. I just wanted to see how it would've been going, great. Like the excitement. Just
yeah, I think you should have done that at the start. If you'd have done that at the start, I could have quite easily fallen for that.
Yeah. Well, I thought with me, because my phone went, and with me looking at my phone, I thought maybe you're going to like think, oh, maybe that was Jan saying, is it time to come on yet? Like, so, yeah. I've also got a story for you, Andy, and I'm going to do this live just so the viewers can see your reaction as well.
Okay.
Myself and Andy, not you, videographer Andy,
okay.
We went to do a filming the other day at a shop.
Okay.
Okay, because we're filming a series. It would already have started by the time this goes out, where we're going around the UK looking at dart shops, the facilities and everything that there is to offer. So we went to get an episode of that, and we turned up, and we got there at about 10 to 5 to 4-ish, so we could do the filming. The shop closes at 4.
I think I know where you were now. Yeah.
Close at 4. So as we got there, they were just turning off all the lights.
Oh,
you we see, need one of your itineraries. You shouldn't have left me
this
and Andy.
Is where you need me. I should
we've
have
all
sent
got
you the itinerary.
Yep. We said, we've all you got see, our strengths. Your strength is planning. And you didn't plan it for yep. us. We turned up, the shop was shut. Yeah, you drove 2.5 hours. 2.5 hours, yeah. A 5-hour round trip for a shop that was closed.
You know full well if that had been me, I would have had the shop's opening times, the name of the guy, what time we were going to be there, make sure we've got the coffee en route, you've got the sat nav on, everything would have been organised.
I'm not going to Basingstoke.
So it does, yeah, you've been going in the right direction and everything. We'd have had the traffic updates. So, yeah, there you go. You try and do something without me and look what happens. Look what happens. But no, yeah.
Five-hour round trip for a shop that was shut.
Oh, my God. But, guys, yeah, that is a new series coming on Wednesdays. So make sure you are subscribed if you want to see some of the best dart shops in the UK. Because I know I've already filmed a few with you, Matt, and I know you've done a few on your own now. So another good series coming to you now that, sadly, Rate My Hockey has finished. Until the next one, the next series in the new year.
Not deep into the new year. We're talking like late January you'll be getting Series 3.
Yeah, and you've had your itinerary, so you've got no excuses.
Are they
we will get there on time.
Right, so me and Andy sat down, and he's like, oh, don't tell Cornwall about this. Like, and yeah. then he's like, could you imagine if Cornwall's coming? I said, no. I said, I think he'll find it funny because he's not involved. I said, if he was involved yeah. and he was coming down, then you should.
Oh, I'd be heartbroken. Oh, if we'd all driven down there and it had been closed, I'd be heartbroken. Yeah, that would. I'd never live that down. I'd be worse than my being the only loser in our Super League team. But anyway, they have invited me back. They have invited me back. They've said, next time you're available. Yeah. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. 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 They're going to go. We'll invite you back if you can sort out some team shirts. Yeah. Oh, that's been brilliant, Matt. So much to talk about at the moment. You'll have played Lakeside by the time we're on by the time this comes out there. So good luck with that. I know you've been practicing hard. So let's hope you get the rewards.
The next one might actually be with us sat in the same room.
It could be. Maybe we get the chance to film it at Lakeside. Yeah. Who knows? Yeah. Who knows?
Yeah.
So, yeah, guys, make sure you subscribe. You do not want to miss that episode and the content that we've created that's coming out every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday. Now, every week, you're not going to want to miss.